Good morning.
This is November 22nd, 2025, and happy to see all you guys on this call. 2 weeks ago, the message that I was led to share at the time was titled, Finish the Temple. I remember that I began reading a couple of scriptures, and let me just touch on two. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then in Ephesians 2, verse 21 and 22, it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. We talked about how God no longer inhabits a temple made with hands, right? Like in Solomon's day, when once the temple was complete, after it was cleansed, purified, they put anointing, that holy anointing oil was poured over the vessels, etc. But once the process was complete, the Shekinah glory of God filled the temple. And so that's what God was speaking out last time, that God wants us to finish the temple. And we know he's in charge of it all, right? He's the one in charge, that he will finish the work he began in us. But we have our part. There's a part to play. There is a part to play. And remember with the former temples, the physical temples and the people, they would invest certain materials and bring it forth for the building. They would invest time, labor, and such. But after all's done and the temple finished, that Shekinah glory of God filled the temple. And we know it did for certain in that tabernacle in the wilderness and in that first temple, that actual first temple of Solomon's time, that glory, it filled the temple and it was so thick, the priest couldn't even enter. Now the saints of God in this hour, we are looking for that to happen, aren't we? The glory of the Lord. We're eagerly waiting. I remember a day or two ago, I was groaning before the Lord and was reminded of the word that says that all of creation is just groaning and travail until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then it says that we too are groaning, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. That is loaded, loaded. Of course, my favorite is Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 2. But we're all eagerly desiring the Holy Spirit to fall and our God to come and fully indwell us. Fully indwell us. And to be seen upon us. There's a lot in scripture talking about that very time. But there's something the Lord wants to do in his people, his temple, you know, to finish it. He wants to finish you and me. It's like that last thing, a final purifying, if you will. This is the question that I was asked. I've been asked. And ask again this morning. And I knew that was what he wanted put out there. Are you willing to pay the price? And those that like to title a message, that question's it. Are you willing to pay the price for that anointing? You know, the anointing of God to walk powerfully in the anointing. It will cost you. Are you willing to pay the price? Whatever it is that God asks of you and of me. And we're not talking about salvation, right? about paying the price for salvation. You know, there are folks being saved right and left without walking in a powerful anointing of God. That's just obvious. There are end time life and deathbed salvations taking place. We're not talking about that. We're speaking of saints of days past and now, those who the Holy Spirit was so strong in and on them that people would fall out repenting on the spot, where as a result maybe of the move of the Spirit, instant healings would take place, demons would flee, scream. We're not talking about fake revivals or phony healings. We're not talking about false signs and wonders that are even now on the increase. No. We're talking about the move of the Holy Spirit apart from the individual, apart from that vessel that the Spirit of God's able to use and flow through at any given time. It's apart from you and me, but it's where you and I can walk into a store or down the road where we're taking the presence of the mighty God into that place, into that building, into that situation, where things begin to happen, where demons shriek, people begin to cry out in repentance, things begin to happen. The Lord wants us to understand that for this type or level of anointing, a death must first take place. The death of Jesus, the first fruit, it's already taken place to make all this possible. I'm talking to the choir, but sometimes you have to make those statements for everyone to understand what's actually being said here. No, to now be useful tools in his hands, we must be willing to die to self. The anointing will cost you. And that kind of anointing that I just described will cost you everything. Are you willing to pay such a price? I've read, matter of fact, the Lord's brought me across, just brought to my attention, I guess you would say, of certain ones lately, but certain ones that I've been, that have been willing to pay such a price, you know, where the Holy Spirit was so heavy in and on them that when others even got close, they were affected. It doesn't require fanciful preaching. It doesn't require grand gestures or whatever the Holy Spirit wants or said is all that's required. Just what the Holy Spirit is saying at that time. He might have you say it, speak a word. He might, there was one, someone, she just pointed her hand out at some, it was a he, pointed his hand out, he meant for, and then that person fell because that wasn't what the Holy Spirit wanted to happen. But things like that. Sometimes all one has to do is enter the room or walk up on a stage or just say a word in a room. Praise the Lord. This is a very costly oil. The Lord was reminding me, I said this to somebody yesterday, time to stock up on oil. I think I put that even in a post. This is very costly oil, this type of anointing we're talking about. It'll cost you in the way of time. Right? Time to be alone with him in prayer, study, fastings. Just you can fill in the blank. But God meets us where we are. I remember all those years. I mean, I had to work a job, a full-time job. Most of my Christian walk, I worked, but I served God also. And he met me right where I was. Any of you that might hear this, you can't use a job for an excuse. It's like he quickened. He did a quick work. He showed me one day, I share this, but one day I didn't want to leave to go to work. I was in much praise and worship, and the downloads were coming, and the Spirit was heavy upon me. And I realized, oh, Lord, I don't want to go. I wish I could spend more time with you. And he showed me a vision of that day, me going to work. He showed me walking down the hall. And I was still communing with him as I walked down the hall. And I was speaking with him all day long. And those of you on the call can know you've experienced this. You, when you're in intimate relationship with the Lord, you need him for every aspect of what you're doing, how to answer somebody, how to do a job assignment, how to. And I did. I face problems all the time talking to customers, things like that. But it will cost you in sleep. Unless, you know, whenever you sleep, it will cost you. Oh, and we have stories here at the camp. The Lord wakes me up and wakes various ones up. Some don't sleep much at night, but he wakes us up and with different ways. I think it was yesterday or day before, the Lord woke me up with a pleasant woman's voice that says, "Are you ready?" Cause he knows that's what I want to make myself ready. No matter when, where, what. And I just sat up. I said, "Yes, Lord." I got up. I didn't know what he was wanting me to do, but I soon did. It was just a very anointed time. He was calling me into fellowship. Sometimes the sleep. Sometimes he needs people to get up, to rise up and pray when called to do so. You know, those times you oftentimes you don't have any idea who's needing prayer, or you don't know anything about the circumstances God's asking you to pray into. But God needs faithful intercessors ready to drop to their knees when called upon, or to get up and fight in the spirit, whatever's required. Somebody maybe on the other side of the earth is crying out to the Lord, and the Lord wakes you up and you get up and pray. I can't say where it is right now, but there's a question. God was upset. He was speaking through one of his prophets. He says, "Where are my intercessors? Is there anyone that will get up and pray? Willing to?" Or in many cases, you know, we're to arise and write down what he's saying to us. Whether it be for a message for us or someone else. I can only say this, that personally, God wakes me up most nights, every night. And the reasons vary. It's always, I have a glorious time with him, and there are varying degrees. Sometimes I'm worrying or praying for someone else. Sometimes the things that he calls upon this one, that one, the other to do, it might make you very fatigued physically, right? Oftentimes things of the spirit, heavy moves of the Holy Spirit of God, our bodies don't hold up real well. But the point is actually serving the Lord, making yourself available to him as a vessel. You have to get out of the way, and it will cost you. You get out of the way and demanding on so much sleep per night. It might cost you, family relationships. It might cost you friendships. It might cost you job. It might cost you being rejected, persecution, on and on and on it goes. We're told this everywhere in Scripture, saints. What did Jesus say? What did he make very clear about this? I'll just name a couple of scriptures, but please, when I mute my mic, let's just have an anointed time together and share. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, that's in verse 34 to 39. Let me read that. He says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against your mother, a daughter-in-law against your mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother." And I would just add anything can put in that blank. Anything that you would love more than God is not worthy. He says, "It's not worthy of me. Whoever loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross," whatever that looks like, guys, "and follow me is not worthy of me." And this is a biggie right here. He says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I was shown that when I was very first called, and it cost me a lot. I lost all my friends. All my family thought I was absolutely nuts. I was persecuted. I was talked about. I was made fun of. And that was just at the very beginning of my walk. No. Whoever finds his life, this life, if you really want that life with the Lord your God, eternal life, for just walk forever with him, you got to give it up here, in a sense. It might not require your death. We're not necessarily talking about that. If it does, it does, whatever. But whoever is seeking to save or find his life will need to lose it. And let me read in Matthew 13, and I'm just going to read verses 44 to 46. Let me read that. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven's like unto a treasure hid in a field, you know, the which when a man finds out about it, he hides, and for joy thereof, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. And who, when he has found one pearl," he goes and finds a pearl of great price. He went and sold all that he had to buy it. And then in Luke 14, verse 28, we're instructed. Oh man, did this really hit me hard before I decided to give my life completely to the Lord and be baptized. Luke 14, 28 says, "For which of you," Jesus says, "intending to build a tower," or let's say to build anything, right? "Which of you considering to build or do something doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" I think this is an excellent time period with everything going on. It's not just me. Obviously, the Lord wants us to take this time to count the costs and to understand these things. You know how they say, think about something when you're facing something and maybe you're taking anxious thought or whatever. Imagine the worst thing. Imagine the things that could happen and then let it go. You've already prepared yourself. It's kind of like preparing yourself mentally. Set down, count the costs, and whether prayerfully before the Lord, he'll reveal things to you, things you might be looking at, things you're already experiencing, whatever that's what happened to me. But I was acutely aware that making that decision to follow my God, Jesus Christ, I knew it was going to cost me. I didn't even know at that time what all it was. I just knew my whole life was getting ready to change. And I made that decision to go and follow him. We've got so many examples from Genesis to Revelation of this. The people that have laid down their lives, right? Hebrews 11, things that have happened to people. All the men and women of God in the Bible. Look at all the things that happened to Paul in his walk. Abraham, he left, he went out, followed God, didn't know where God was leading him. He just knew he had to leave it all and go. But it requires, to sum it up, it requires a total surrender to him. It requires us to completely yield to God. We have to yield our plans sometimes. Our desires, everything needs to line up with him, his will. We need to subject everything to his will. And as we've said, death to self. And there was one, what was it? It was a saying. Catherine Kuhlman was somebody that come across my mind here lately. And she had said something like that, that the anointing will cost you and it will cost you everything. She said something in a talk to, I think it was a group of pastors. And she said, she was talking about herself because people were always asking her questions and stuff. Hey, you know, how did you, she said, this anointing that I have, she said, is available to every pastor, everyone out there, if they're willing to pay the price. That's it. People will say, I don't hear this, or God doesn't this to me, or this, whatever be the case. I've heard that, you've heard that, we've all heard these things. If you and I are his sheep, we hear his voice. Maybe we don't know how yet. Maybe we need further training. Maybe, and he speaks to us in different ways, not everyone the same. And even to you, he'll speak differently at different times. But it's just making yourself available and being still. And even if you just don't know what to pray, that's probably the best. Is just to sit still and let him speak to you. Just devour his word. Jesus said he's the bread from heaven. He's that manna from heaven. Eat it. Every morning. Eat. I ask him, Lord, give me what I need for this day. Give me the bread that I need for this day. Give me what is sufficient for this day. And you know what? He'll give you enough for this day, for this time, for this season. And he normally won't give you more than what you can. He's never, other than just glimpses, but it's things you put on the shelf because he won't give you all the details. Sometimes he gives you glimpses to spur you on, to excite you, to encourage you. He knows exactly what you need for that day. But Lord, give me sufficient for this day. And you invest that time. It's a costly price. It's sometimes tears. Sometimes the price is brokenness. But it's always a death to self, to get out of the way. Constantly submitting ourselves to God. Sometimes being, it's like that discomfort. We have to, we have to be okay with being uncomfortable. Maybe it's bearing with others. Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's sleepless nights. Maybe whatever. We have to be okay with being uncomfortable. He said, you must become comfortable with being uncomfortable. So whatever it is, it's worth the cost. It is worth the cost. It's worth it. But are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to pay the price? That is what God is asking us in that hour. He wants us to go before him, talk this over with him. I remember so clearly a time when he woke me up and he said, are you ready? Now that's funny because he asked me that the other day, two nights ago. I just told you that. And it was very wonderful because he wakes me up every night now, just about every night. I can't remember maybe the one time when I was so exhausted, he let me sleep till 7:30. It was after a time of being completely depleted. But two nights ago, I'm just now putting, guys, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm putting these two pieces together because years ago, it would have been probably 2014, 15. Well, yeah, it was right before he gave me a glimpse of glory, but he woke me up, had me set up. It was dark. I was by myself and he said, are you ready? And I said, ready for what, Lord? He said again, are you ready? And I went, I don't know if I'm ready, because I didn't know what he was talking about. And he said it again, are you ready? And I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm ready, but I trust that if I'm not ready, you'll get me ready. And then the spirit was gone. I sat there for a minute to see if there's something else. No, that was it. But then pretty soon he started getting me ready. He started letting me know I wasn't going to be out of here when I thought I was. I bought into the rapture thing that I'd be out of here before I broke a fingernail. And it totally turned my world upside down, what he started showing me just right after that. Okay, so we've had all this time. I've had all this time. And two nights ago, he woke me up in a very pleasant female voice. and it was at 3:30. And he said, are you ready? And I got up and I said, yes, Lord. It's just beautiful, guys. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We're ready. He will make us ready. He will equip us for whatever he is calling upon you for that particular day, that week, that month, whatever. He is equipping us and he's finishing the work. He just wants us to, again, go before and say, Lord, whatever it takes, strip me bare. I've said this, I've had to renew this several times in my life. When things would happen, he'd strip me down again. Maybe there's some more, I picked up some more baggage, right? So let me pray and let's just feel free to rejoice before him and share as led. Father, thank you so much for us being able to come together like this and to share the things that you are impressing upon us, each and every one of us. And we're all feeling the time is near. We all know, we know without a shadow of a doubt, you are making it very clear that time is of the essence. The battle of the ages is upon us. You are saying, are you ready? Are you willing to pay the price? Oh, Lord God, praise you. Praise you. Praise you for the things that you are showing. You are preparing a people. You are preparing her to go forth to be the blessing that Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. This said that about him. He was sent. And he is to be that blessing. And so is she to be a blessing in all creation. Lord God, thank you. You're showing us is groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of your sons of God in this hour. And we ourselves also are groaning. We are waiting for the redemption of these bodies. Father, we know that we are participants in this, in that we must get out of the way. We must die to self. We must be ready for whatever you would call upon us. You say, are you ready? Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit be with us as we continue in this fellowship. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful provider. What a wonderful healer. Everything. You are our everything. And we praise you in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach this hour. Amen.